Well, good morning. Thank you for inviting me back. I was here in December, and Pastor Dave talked to me and invited me back today, and then I was here officiating a funeral a few weeks back, and at that time, Pastor Dave was in his office, and he asked me to come in after this funeral service was over and said, "Can you do two Sundays?" And I said, "Sure." I'll be back next Sunday too. And it's just so many, so many things are so familiar with me, even though I've been here once before. And through the announcements and your prayers, I am so excited for you as a church that prays so much. The prayer for the lost particularly hit me. I am the only person in my family that is a Christian. I'm talking about my mother and father, but my siblings to this day still are not. And when you put that list up for the lost, we were on a list like that many years ago. The church my mom and dad went to kept bringing Pat and I up for prayer, that we would come and commit our lives to the Lord. It took a number of years, 17. I had left home when I was 16, and 17 years later, to us at that time, for some unknown reason, we decided one Sunday morning, we were going to go to church where my mom and dad went and surprise them. We got surprised. We walked into that church. We were in the lobby. People were coming over to us and saying, "Hi, Jack. Hi, Pat." Because they had been praying for us by name. I didn't know them, but they knew us. They knew of us. And it was through that church we committed our lives to the Lord. And through that church was a renewed call to ministry, of which I followed through with Pat and my family. And still are. Even though I'm retired, I still do a little few things like this. And the church that Pastor Dave will be at next week, where his son, I believe, is associate pastor, and they're going for a dedication of their grandchild. And I did an interim pastor there for 6 months when they were between pastors about 10 or 12 years ago. Wonderful town, great church, good bunch of people. So I'm very familiar where he's going to be. So it's kind of just interesting how that all falls in and makes me feel at home. And you make me feel at home. Appreciate you very much. Well, the sermon I'm going to preach today has a little bit of an introduction I want to give, which is probably a little bit of an unusual introduction. Many times when I get to preach, particularly since I've been retired, my style of getting sermons is been a little different, not completely, but many times I get a sermon, sometimes in the middle of the night, I wake up and I'm either seeing or dreaming and getting a message. It's not all laid out, but the body of it is there, and this is one of them. And I had an experience this past week because of the sermon that I'm preaching today. It happens to me occasionally, quite often, but not all the time. And many times I end up going through the week because of the sermon I'm preparing that I'm going to preach to you that I have had to go through this week to be able to do this today. It's about worry. And I don't like it all the time when God does this. I think he has a sense of humor. Oh, okay, I'm asking you to preach on worry. Okay, fine. Well, I worried all week. Big time. I got a letter in the mail telling me that my financial situation is about to change very soon. And it isn't a raise. Oh boy, now what? Things are going to change and wondering, well, how is God going to provide? No, we know God will provide him. But for a little while, the man came out. Okay, the man came out. And I was really having a tough day, but a tough week, actually. And then Pat several times prayed for me. She said, come on, sit in the living room. We prayed. She prayed for me. And a song came to my mind. I was actually going to get you to play it, but I didn't. But by Lauren, what's her last name? Daigle. Yeah, Lauren Daigle. Everything's going to be all right. Do you want to know how many times I played it this week? A number of times, a number of times. Anyway, today's sermon title, I want you to know this. I borrowed the title. It's called, What? Me Worry? Anybody remember him? Alfred E. Newman. From Mad Magazine from the 50s and 60s and I think into the 70s. I don't know if it's still going, but is there a picture up there? Yeah, that's kind of my favorite theologian. Well, not really, but anyway, he had that on the Mad Magazine cover for years. And in the articles, he's a fictitious person, but in his articles, he would say, everything's going to be all right, much like the song. So I borrowed the title, and it's from Matthew 6, where you're probably very familiar with, where God talks to us about worry in his word. Anybody here live a life without no worry, no anxiety? And I was going to say, you know, don't put your hand up, liar. You know, not really. But we all come to it, don't we? We all have those moments. Some of them are longer than moments. And it's a very human experience. And we can worry just about anything. There are so many topics and so many opportunities to worry and get anxious about. We worry about all kinds of things under the sun. To name a few, too many bills. Is my job secure? What about my family? I said to our youngest son one time, after he said to me, you know, Dad, I think he has three children. Well, they're not children anymore. I would have loved to have bought you a picture of the stock car that they raced. But anyway, my grandkids. And but anyway, he said to me, you know, Dad, sometimes, and this is when the kids were about 11, 12. The oldest was about 11, 12 years old. Now 23, and the youngest is 18. And but when they were a little younger, but I'm sure it hasn't gone away, he said to me, Dad, sometimes I worry about my kids. Now, he's in his 50s. And I looked him in the eye and I said, and if your hair is the same color as mine, you'll understand, that doesn't go away. I still worry about him sometimes, you know. But it does a good thing in the end, though, because then I pray for him. We do pray for them every day. Some people, and my dad was like this because there are so many things we could worry about. Some people, it seems like they get up in the morning and they get worried if they don't have something to worry about because they're always worrying. And I remember when I was pastoring in Flin Flon, that was the last church I pastored full time, and one of the elders was leading a Bible study and I happened to be sitting in. And we had what we called Super Tuesday, and we would meet together and we would have a meal, and we would have a couple of songs, and then we all break into different Bible studies all over the place. The church got too small, so then we had them in homes and as well and stuff like that. But they had this one, and they were talking a little bit about worrying, and the elder said, Jack, do you think it's okay to worry? Do you think worrying does any good? Do you think it works at all? And I said, yes. Sitting there as a student, of course, all the people in the circle went like this and looked at me like, you know, pastors, it's okay. Like, worrying works? How does that work? He says, explain that, Jack. And I said, well, it's like this. Most of the stuff, the vast majority of the stuff that I worry about never happens. So much work, right? Well, not really, but because we worry over things we shouldn't even be worrying about. It must work sometimes, I guess. Not really. Someone just recently, just a couple of weeks ago, knew I was going to be preaching this week, and he said to me, because I think that worry and fret and anxiety kind of all go together. He told me of an acrostic for fear, because when we get worried too much, we start to fear of what's going to happen. And it should be on the screen here. Fear. False evidence against reality. It gets big. You know something else? Here's an interesting statistic. The Bible has the word fear or anxiety, or one like it, but those two particularly. How many times do you think it's in the Bible? Yes, exactly. 365 times worry is talked about in the Bible. Isn't that interesting? One for every day. God repeats himself. You ever know that? You know why God repeats himself? You know why God keeps telling us things in the Bible over and over and over again? But for guys like me. Because if you tell me 9 or 10 times, I catch on right away. Fear. Anxiety. Well, I want us to listen to what God says about worrying. And the scripture reading this morning is going to be by video. So let's watch this video on Matthew 6, 25 to 34. One of the first things I want to talk about with worry and anxiety is this, the first point I want to make if you like to take notes. Anxiety or worry is a lack of faith. It says in verse 25 of Matthew 6, do not worry. Interestingly, what he says just before that in verse 24, you cannot serve two masters. What does that mean? It means that there can only be one person in control. And that's God. That's why we need to go to him. In the beginning, it is the beginning, rather, to lean on God, because we forget sometimes just how big God is. When we get worrying too much, like I had some experience this week, get a little overloaded with it for a little while, and when we're in that state of mind, we're underestimating, maybe even putting aside or forgetting how big God is. In Psalm 24:1, it says, the earth is the Lord and everything in it, the whole world and all who live in it. He's in control. God owns everything. Everything. When we don't have enough money at the end of the month, I love to go to an old hymn. He owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. I don't usually ask for a cow. I usually just ask for a pound of hamburger. Because that's all I need right now. We don't need to panic when we get into situations to the place of worry. We can become consumed with worry. Did you know that the English word worry comes from the meaning, from the word that means the same as to strangle or choke? And if you worry enough, that's what it feels like. You feel like you can't breathe. Something's wrong. Something's out of control. And it's usually us. Here's another thing. Most of the time, the substance of what we worry about is extremely small compared to the reality of what's going on in our minds. I had an experience not too long ago. I think it was in December. And it was the end of the month. And I'm a senior. So I get a pension check at the end of the month. And I like to make sure it's in before I spend it, just in case the bank was late or the government was late or whatever. I know I'm just like that. Any income I get, I want to make sure it's there. And I don't bank online because I don't know how. And I don't want to, actually, that kind of thing. So I went to the ATM at the bank. And I checked it in, got a printout, check's there, way to go. And we left. We went across the street to the mall and started looking around, and I went to buy something. And I reached in my wallet to pay for it, and I pulled it out, my debit card. Where's my debit card? What'd they do with my debit card? I think I left it in the machine. Oh, no. Looked at Pat and I said, I think I left the machine in the ATM, or the card in the ATM. I got all excited and worried. We started walking. My car was at the other end of the mall, out the door. Walked back. She said, slow down, you're going to have a heart attack. I said, it's okay, I already had two. She could hardly keep up with me. I'm telling you, if I'd have been in the Olympics that day, I'd have won your gold. I was rushing to come. I couldn't get there fast enough. Got out there, got in the car. We had to drive across the street. Every car that was in front of me was trying to win the Citizenship of the Year award and let the next guy in front of them. Every one of them. Got across. I got a red light. Got to wait. Get across. Finally get to the bank. I walk in the machine. I look at the machine. My car's not there. And all the time I'm thinking this, talking about the size of the problem to the size of reality. I'm thinking, my card's stuck in the machine. The machine's on. People have access to my account. Not that I have that much money, but I need what's there. So I'm thinking, they're lined up now, okay? Kerching, kerching. It's kicking out $20 bills. All these people are taking, come on in, there's more free money, it's coming out, the machine's just kicking. That's what I'm thinking in my mind. Somebody's getting all this money. I'm not going to have no money left. Pat said, Jack, take a breath, slow down. Not in the machine, machine's not being used. It's off. I walk in, there's a lineup. I thought it was from here to the door. It was probably about six or seven people. And I walked right past them because there was somebody opening this till over here, just opened up, and this person was next. And I walked around, excuse me, this is an emergency. I actually did that. I got to the till and I said, I got a problem. You got to check the machine. She said, what's the matter with the machine? I said, my card's in there. I can't get it out. She said, well, and I didn't know this. If you don't do it in a certain amount of time, it takes your card. Swallows your card, takes it in. Doesn't destroy it. Just do it. She said, well, nobody can use it. It'll be in with all the receipts and money and whatever's in the machine. I don't have no idea what's in those machines. So anyway, she said, well, I can check to see for you if anybody's been in your account. So okay. She says, put your debit card in the machine. I don't have a debit card. Pat says, here, honey, she can use mine. She puts it in the machine, checks it, turns the screen to me. She says, nobody's used your account since you were the last one. I'll tell you, I could breathe again. Completely blown out of proportion. And then I realized everything I'd done. Pastor Jack got worried. I felt pretty foolish. But he did say in front of the teller, thank you, Lord. Thank you, ma'am, for your help. And that's what it's like with a lot of our problems that can be so small, but we blow them out of proportion. It all worked out in the end. So it brings us to the next point. Anxiety, worry is unnecessary. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 30, it says, if God clothes the grass of the fields, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not do much more to clothe you, you of little faith? The thrust here is that if we trust God, we really have no reason to worry. If we're really trusting Him, why are we worrying? He'll look after us. He knows what he's doing. He knows all of our needs, every single one of them. He illustrates in that verse how much he cares about us, even more than the birds and the crops and our food and our clothing and flowers. And there's an old song, "His eyes on the sparrow, and I know he watches me." I haven't heard it for a long time. I heard a lady by the name, many years ago, Mahalia Jackson. She was quite a singer. She sang at many Billy Graham crusades. And apparently she got away from the Lord for a number of years. And when she came back and recommitted her life to the Lord, she came to realize this, and she said this in her testimony. I never forgot this part of it. She said, "I was far away from God. Guess who moved?" God's always there, isn't he? You know? Where was God in my mind when I was worrying? I'm not proud of what I did. But I share it with you, just share with you what worry can do to you if you let it, and we take our eyes off of God when our eyes are supposed to be on him. It's unreasonable. Verse 34, worry is unreasonable. It says, "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. The tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." We've had a life verse since we actually committed our lives to the Lord, and especially through Bible college years when things were lean as far as making any money and going to school full time and Pat working and trying to keep us the food on the table and things like that while I was studying for 3 years. I worked part-time. I ended up on a church on staff after 1 year of Bible college. And I needed a job for the summer because I needed to make money to come back the next semester. And we only had enough. When we went to school, we had enough to live off of for 30 days and enough money for my books and the cost of going to school, tuition. That's all we had. Went in faith. And God provided. Pat got a job brought to her. Her cousin worked at the bank. Her cousin was leaving, and just her and her husband graduated from Bible college and seminary and were going to the mission field. He said, "Pat, come on down and I'll introduce you to the manager." And he hired her on the spot, full-time work. And I worked during the summer. I used to drive truck. I used to drive tanker. So I thought, well, the summertime I'll go driving truck, but I didn't want to. The reason I didn't want to, this is kind of unusual for most people in college, I guess, but I was coming out of there in 3 years. I'm going to be pastoring a church. I had never sat on a board of any kind. And now I was going to be a pastor. I said, I want some experience. So I went to the pastor and I said, I got to get some summer work. I said, I was wondering, is there any possibility of me getting some work here at the church for the summer? He said, yeah, we probably could. I'll take it to the board and ask him. I said, well, I have to get paid. He said, don't apologize for that. We all have to make a living. And they hired me. So I worked full-time during when school was out and part-time while it was in, and I graduated on time, and they ended up hiring me full-time. And I stayed on staff there for a few years. Philippians 4:19, "My God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory." It's been one of our life verses. Do not worry about tomorrow. It actually makes sense if all we really have is the present. We can't even live tomorrow yet, can we? And yet we can have a tendency to do it. I remember a bumper sticker, and it kind of relates to this a little bit. I'm going to try and make it relate. Hope it does for you. But I saw a bumper sticker, and I was a brand new Christian, and this car in front of me had this bumper sticker, and it said, "He who dies with the most toys wins." I found another one not long after that at a Christian bookstore. And I put it on the back of my car and said, "He who dies with the most toys still dies." God will provide in every way. What good is it for a man or woman to gain the whole world but lose his own soul, he says. Our faith in God is what our lives are all about. We should do everything we can to not allow worry and anxiety to consume us. We will worry sometimes. But I will tell you this much, because I've been pretty straightforward and honest with you about my week. It did bring me to my knees. I felt really small. I felt really bad. I felt guilty. Because I'd taken my eyes off God for a short time, and for some reason or other, I just started getting this worrying. And Pat and I prayed, and the whole thing was just completely lifted off my shoulders. And that's when I went to my phone and played that song, "It's Gonna Be All Right." I don't think I played it more than 6 or 7 times, but I played it. And I cried. I cried. I wept. Thank you, God. He was there the whole time. We have times when we get anxious, we can worry. When we do that, we all know it, and maybe you've had similar circumstances where you haven't taken it to God and you worried about it a little too much. Maybe a lot like me. I don't usually do that. It's not a habit I've made, but I fell into it. So what would we do? We give it back to God, right? We give it back to Him. And I had a great rest of the week, the rest of the days. Putting this together came fairly easy after that. Experience does things for you, doesn't it? Sometimes when you go through something, most times we do learn something. Give it back to God. And remember this too, and I close with this. When you're having a problem with something and you start to get concerned about it and it starts to turn into worry, you might even get a little anxious. Think about this. How often have you gone to God and casted your worry and anxiety onto Him? And He answered your prayer. How often have you asked Him to do something and He answered your prayer? I would suggest that we could spend a whole lot of time sharing testimonies how God provided for us in one way or another. I stand up here as a man who's supposed to be dead according to science. Oops. Still here. Sometimes I get very concerned. Well, maybe concern is not the right word, but I feel bad when somebody, especially younger than me, dies. And it really hits me hard if they die of a heart attack or heart problems, because that's my problem. I go like, why am I still here? Why am I still here? Because of times like now. Because of times where I can still serve God. I don't know if I've told you this last time because I don't remember too much of what I said other than my sermon notes last time, but I can tend to get away from my notes. But when we first retired and moved down to Winnipeg and started attending Kilcona Alliance Church, I knew the pastor a little, and he brought me on staff part-time. And that was a blessing for 10 years. I stepped down on my own after a while. We still preach there. We still serve there. I still visit hospitals, homes, take people meals, or just go and pray with them. Pat is still involved with Bible quizzing, competitive Bible quizzing, and Emily's, Declan's wife is, Pat has mentored her since she was about 13 years old, something like that, 13 or 14 years old. She's, and another young gal who have gone through grade 7 to grade 12 in Bible quizzing. She's still there. It took me a while to convince her it was time to pass the baton. She passed it on to these two young women who are doing an amazing job. Far more energy than we have. She has seen, or we have seen, somewhere between 6 and 10 people go through our quizzing, Bible, young youth groups who are now in vocational ministry. Do you know why they did that? Their elders that I've had in my church are now pastors. You know why they did that? I'll be real honest with you. They saw me. And they said, if Jack can do it, anybody can. True. Anybody can. If God calls you. God qualifies the called. He does not call the qualified. He calls you and qualifies you. Whatever it is to do in the local church, missions, in the community, you can do it without a lot of worry. There will be some from time to time. But when that comes, whatever you're doing, your family, your church, your ministries, cast your cares upon Him. And He will provide for you, and He will use you for His glory. God bless you. Look forward to seeing you next week. And I'll get my sermon straight with Shirley this week. She's amazing. She called me, and David asked me to send forth my PowerPoint so that she could do it. And then she phoned me and she said, could you tell me what your topic is? I haven't got it yet. And I gave her next week's title and topic. She was smart enough to catch it, so we'll use that one next week. But God bless you. You guys are amazing. Love being here. And we pray for you. God bless. Amen.